Well, Matthew chapter 6, if you would, and verses 19 through 24. The word that we're going to be studying tonight and looking at is the word treasure. Arr. Yeah, now it's going to be like this. Instead of amen, we're going to arr. All right, stand if you would, please, out of love and respect for the word of God this evening. Matthew chapter 6, I'll read out loud, you follow along silently, verses 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I'm sure that maybe even more than last week's word, you have a good idea of what the word treasure means. Okay? And so it is basically, you know, it's called wealth accumulated. That's the number one definition of treasure, accumulated wealth, particularly a stock or store of money or some sort of valuable in reserve. Okay? And wouldn't that be nice? Right? To have some treasure buried under an X somewhere. Amen? That's the most common definition for the word treasure. How many of you are thinking along those lines as far as the word treasure goes? Okay? Some kind of surplus stock or supply of money, gold maybe, silver, bearer bonds. I mean, I don't know, whatever money, currency, or et cetera, right? In reserve, right? Maybe in a treasure chest in the ground somewhere. Thank you. Very good. Very good. All right. Now, another definition is a great quantity of anything collected for future use. So all the old grannies that had root cellars, they had treasures. Right? Come on now. Preserves, canned goods, how many remember when people used to get, there's a neighbor lady, Miss Alma, across from Grandma and Grandpa. We used to go to her house all the time, and they were an older couple, and we had a lot of fun. That lady had a storeroom, and maybe this is why I got hooked on them, but she used to can cherries. She had a cherry tree, and she used to can cherries. She'd let us get into those things. That's a treasure right there, I'm telling you what. Just fantastic. Anything is in a great abundance or quantity collected for the future. That's considered a treasure, okay? Treasure is something very much valued. So you may say, well, gold is a treasure, right? But I might say books are a treasure, right? Or you might say, well, paintings are a treasure, right? Or I would say God's word is a treasure. You understand? It's just whatever that's valued. Okay, I would say my children are a treasure. My wife is a treasure. You know, family, that could be, I'm saying that because, well, somebody tell her that I said that because she's in the back of the nursery getting some brownie points. But it's anything that's valued. Do we all have a slightly different idea of what we value? Yeah, I mean, one man's trash is another man's treasure. I'm going to play that card as much as I can tonight. All right. Now, it also means simply great abundance. Okay? Now, think about those things. All right? Now we're going to connect the dots in a spiritual sense. Because we are talking about, this is not just an English lesson. We're not here for night school to further our understanding of the English language per se. Although that does help, right? But we're trying to link it or put it into perspective through this. Okay? So we want this to be that filter as it goes through, because over 100 times the word treasure, treasures, or treasuries, or some form of the word treasure is listed in Scripture. All right? So that's a good amount of times listed in Scripture, okay? So I went through and read, and I found out basically some categories that we could put the word treasure into that we need to think about as Christians. The first and obvious one is earthly treasure. All right? That's going to be the most obvious, and that is the most of the time that is spoken of in Scripture. All right? The vast majority, the word treasure is being spoken of having to do with gold or silver or things that a country stores up. Many times, especially through the Old Testament, the kings of Israel, right, had treasuries. They even had a treasury in the temple there, where they would bring in these things and keep them and such and so forth. It talks about other nations and other people and just personal families having treasures, but they were all in that earthly sense, some kind of a valuable, some kind of a monetary unit, some kind of something that they wanted to keep back in store in great abundance. All right, so that's the majority of the time. And think about our daily lives. That's kind of where we put the word treasure most of the time. All right, when we're talking about maybe a savings account or maybe some kind of retirement account, that our nest egg, or is that still a thing? I think it is. Okay, I don't know. We really haven't been able to have one until most recently, being able to save back anything extra. But now thankfully we get an opportunity to do something like that. But that's the predominant thought as we talk about this word treasures. And it's the case in Scripture. It's the predominant thought that's what man values. That's what man wants in great abundance. That's what man is collecting for future use. It's a stock or store of money or valuables kept in reserve. Accumulated wealth. And that's what we think of, right? When we read our text tonight, Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Okay? Thank you. But that's what he's doing, isn't it? He's saying, hey, people, get rid of your primary thought about this thing of treasure. It's not all about laying up for things here. He says that's mankind's default to love treasure. Money is not the root of all evil, folks. The love of money is the root of all evil. So we've got to understand that earthly treasure is just kind of a inset thing. It's just kind of a natural thing for mankind. What do kids want to do? Just initially, nobody has to teach them this. Nobody has to show them this. What do they think that everything that comes within their grasp is? Mine. Yes, we could go quote the little birds on Nemo. Mine, 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 mine. Right? And they don't want to let go of it. And guess what? I guess my children are a lot like, they're kind of hoarders, you know, they're a lot like me. They want to save it in abundance for later. You know, they have these toys, right? I'm so surprised my girls can even sleep anywhere because their beds are full of stuff. I was like, where do you sleep? I don't know where do you fit? The other day I asked Clara that today, I think it was today or yesterday. She's like, I'm going to sleep right there. I'm like, where? There's all this stuff on her bed. So they collect this stuff and they're not playing with it, right? And in our house, there's a contest. You know, I mean, there's lots of people and you know, they want to play with stuff, and that's fine. But these kids, they have this tendency that those are their toys. You know, and they haven't played with them in weeks. But one of the other kids goes and gets one of those toys, finds it under a bed somewhere or somewhere. they begin to play with it, and immediately, just about that fast, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that fast, that child says, "That's, you can't." Yeah, I mean, you guys are great tonight. Man, I love this. Arr. It's getting better. Let's have church till 9, okay? Amen. Amen. Oh, good, good. We got an approval. A second on that one. Anybody like to vote? Okay. Arr. Now, listen. That is our mindset. That's what's built into us. So as you look through Scripture and you see this word treasure or a form of this word treasure, just know that most of the time, it's talking about earthly treasure. Stuff here where Jesus said, moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. It's temporal. It's not going to last. Reminds me of the joke somebody told about this rich man before he died. He knew he was going to die. He had all of his assets turned to gold. And gold bricks. And he had them buried with him when he died. And again, this is a joke. This is not theological. Please understand, okay? We're not teaching a new theology here because you can't take it with you, okay? But when he gets up to heaven, he's got all this gold, okay? And he's standing there and begins to have this conversation. The guy says, "Well, what do you got in the bag?" He goes, "Well, this is all that I've amassed in my earthly wealth." And he opens the bag, and there's these bricks upon bricks upon bricks of gold. And the guy looks at him and says, "Why'd you bring all that pavement up here?" Okay? I mean, we've got to think about it in light of the Bible. The street is made of gold. I mean, if you've read in Revelation, the gates are made of one huge pearl. I mean, there are 12 of them. That's pretty cool. And all the layers of the walls of the city, all these beautiful stones and different things. It's amazing. I mean, what can compare? All right? And certainly, we're not going to be able to take it with us anyway, so it doesn't matter. But Job tells us that, right? Now, you understand, though, that earthly treasure is something that we have to think about, we have to understand about. It does have a place in our lives, but it's not the most important thing. It's useful, right? But if it ever gets a hold of you, money makes a terrible master. It's a great tool, but a terrible master. Don't become like the pirates of old that everything was about treasure. Yay. All right. Because that's what life was about for them. How'd they do with that? Yeah. Yeah, they sunk. Yeah, not so good, right? Like Jesus said, that moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. That's the sum of earthly treasure. Okay? It's fleeting. Don't get stuck watching the stock market. Okay? It's terrible. That's how it works. So there are many scriptures, but David was able to amass things for God's purpose, but it was earthly treasure. Solomon, likewise. I like what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 2. He said, "I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in mine house, and had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men and singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and all of sorts. And so was I great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon said in Proverbs, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Folks, we need to be careful when it comes to earthly treasure. And by the way, it is nice to have things. It's nice to have nice things. But don't ever let it get control of you. Be warned. Hezekiah had a good opportunity as king. The kingdom was flourishing. Do you know what Hezekiah got proud of? All that he had gathered. You know what Hezekiah did? Showed it to the Babylonians. Hey, guys. Look at all this nice stuff we have here in Israel. Oops. What happened after that? Nebuchadnezzar came in and said, you know what? We like that stuff you showed us. We want it. Come on. We've got to be careful. So as Jesus says here in our text, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But in verse 20, he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So the next thing I see in Scripture, not only is the majority mentioned about earthly treasure, but the vast minority, but it is mentioned, talks about heavenly treasure. This is where we want to set our focus. Now listen, this is quite in line with how God operates. Think about this. The majority of things in life is about that broad path that leads to destruction. But then we have the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. So think about it. What does God always choose to work with? Not the majority, but the remnant, the minority, right? The smaller group. So it's no question that God speaks about, but speaks little about, this thing of heavenly treasure. But it is mentioned, if you look for it, in many ways. So what is heavenly treasure? What is this stuff that we can lay up where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal? Well, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now the three accounts that we're told of the rich young ruler that Jesus speaks to. He was wealthy in earthly treasure here on this earth. And he says, hey, if you want heavenly treasure, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me, and you'll have heavenly treasure. In Mark 10:21, very similarly, Jesus says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. In Luke 18, he told the same man the same thing. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. All three of these accounts mention that phrase, treasure in heaven. Folks, you understand that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Our good works, those things that we do for the Lord, are the treasure in heaven that we get to lay up. And can I tell you something? We need to lay it up in abundance. We need to lay it up, and guess what? It's not for right now, it's for later. We've talked about rewards, right? We've already talked about that. And receiving those rewards to cast them at His feet. We talked about the different crowns and the different things that are awarded to us. But it's something collected for future use, something very much valued, something that we should have in great abundance. And guess what? God wants us to live an abundant life for Christ. Our works should be abundant. Our works should be valued. Our works should be laid up in reserve in great quantity. See, Pastor, you say good works don't save us. They don't. But they are treasure. They're treasure because we're saved. We're not given access to the kingdom of heaven because of our good works. It should be because we're given access to the kingdom of heaven that we have good works. You see, you just got to think of it the other way around. So our good works and the things that we do for the Lord are those treasures that we accumulate for God. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, If God then so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or neither be ye doubtful of mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, give alms, and provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells the church, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Laid up in store, laid up in reserve. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You understand that our good works, the things that we do for the Lord, are the treasure laid up in heaven. Those talents that the servants earned, 5 and 5, 2 and 2. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's what we ought to be looking for. That's what we ought to be focusing on. And if there's something that we can do here on this earth for the Lord, we ought to do it. You understand that to whom much is given, much is required. Some of us have a better opportunity to do some things for the Lord than others. And that's fine. Some of us may be 5 talent Christians. Some may be 2 talent Christians. Some may be 1 talent Christians. I'm not saying you have to have a lot of money to gain a lot of good works in heaven. That's not true. But you ought to do the best with what you have and have been given for the Lord. You ought to lay up for yourselves these treasures in heaven. Because guess what? Moth and rust can't corrupt it. Thieves can't break through and steal it. And then he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So that's the key. Between these heavenly treasures and between these earthly treasures, it's a matter of the heart. What is your heart going after? Is it going after the temporal things, the earthly things? Or is it going after the eternal things, the spiritual things that God wants us to lay up in store for heaven? You know what? I have learned over life that it is true. It is better to give than to receive. As a kid, I did not think so. I remember when I got a job, my mom and dad, they were good parents. They made me share with my heathen brother and sister. Those terrible, evil children. I had to share with them. I worked hard and I would bring home some pizza or I would bring home something. And it was for me. It was my treasure. Yarr. And they made me share. How dare they make me do such? No, it was good. I wish I would have understood that when I was a teenager. I didn't understand it. I didn't think it was good. But you know what? It's fun to share. Isn't it? I've told y'all before, if somebody needs something, just if I can give it to you, I'll give it to you. It's fun. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is good to lay up this treasure in heaven. It's wonderful because it's God, from God's perspective, from God's viewpoint. And guess what? It's all His anyways. And it's going to be all His again because He may give it to us or we may lay it up, but guess who it's going to go to? It's for His glory, folks. It's for His honor. It's for His praise. Well, let me leave you with a few things of to define the value that God puts on treasure. Think about this. In Exodus 19, the Bible tells us, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. You know what God treasures? An obedient people. An obedient people. In Deuteronomy 28, it says, The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, and the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. That if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or after other gods to serve them. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? God treasures an obedient people. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know what God wants an abundance of? In his kingdom, obedient people. Obedient servants. He doesn't want to say, thou wicked and slothful servant. He wants to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God treasures obedient people. You know what God treasures? God treasures his word. The Bible says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. That's wisdom speaking. Wisdom comes from the word of God. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than chosen than silver. David said in Psalm 119, The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. In Psalm 138, David says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. We know Psalm 19 talks about the law of the Lord, the commandments and the testimonies and the statutes of God. Moreover, to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. You know, God's word is important. It's a treasure unto him. You see, how important is God's word? Well, if it says he's magnified his word above his name, That's pretty important. That's pretty valuable. Hey, if it's something that God has painstakingly gone through to give us and to preserve for us, His word, valuable. And if the devil has tried so hard to counterfeit it, guess what? Valuable. You know what? We ought to lay up more for in our lives this book. I'm not talking about the number of Bibles that you have. I'm talking about how much of the Bible you will know. How much of the Bible you've learned. How much of the Bible you've hid in your heart. How much of the Bible that you've consumed. How much of it that you've studied to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's some things that God values. He values obedient people. He values His word. And He values His Son. You know, it's interesting that Jesus Christ is called the treasure of God. In 2 Corinthians says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of, or that power may be of God and not of us." You understand that Jesus Christ is valuable. It's the best thing about us that there is. Without Him, we're nothing. So what is the treasure in us? It's Christ in us. It's not us, but Christ in us. In Hebrews 11:26, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches, than the treasures in Egypt. And for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The reproach of Christ was greater than the treasures of Egypt. This is what Moses thought of following God's way and God's redemptive plan. So you understand that God treasures these things. One more verse in Colossians chapter 2. The Bible tells us that about Jesus Christ, it says, in the full assurance of the understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. These are the things that God finds valuable. Not gold, not silver, not rubies, not precious stones, not the earthly treasures, but those heavenly treasures and those things of God that are, you know what? The church is a treasure to God. His word, Jesus Christ, obedient servants, these things are treasures to God. If they're valuable to Him, they ought to be valuable to us. If He's trying to lay them up in abundance, we ought to be laying them up in abundance. It should be something valued in our lives, not this earthly stuff. Not this stuff that vanisheth away. Not the stuff that moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. We need to be focused on the right kind of treasure.